Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 336, titled Walking the Snake, Part 3. That reference, of course, to the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk, which I believe to be a forecast of what is going to take place. I synopsized that book inside one of this program. It's discussed in numerous programs that are described on the web on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. And there are programs about that streaming on wfmu.org/Dave Emery. And available for people who are not online from Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Now, inside one of this program, we were talking about, among other things, links between Islamo-fascist or Islamic extremist elements in Iran, an airfield near Hamburg, which was being used for smuggling nuclear materials to Iran. That may or may not be the same airfield as one that was alluded to as being connected to the September 11th suspects. And we were talking about links between the Iranian / Islamo-fascist network that was connected to that airfield and to the taking of the U.S. hostages from the American embassy in 1979, and to Ahmed Ney Alfred Huber, a Swiss-born German Nazi converted to Islam, who constitutes something of a link between the Odessa network in Egypt under Otto Skorzeny and Johann von Leers to the contemporary so-called neo-Nazi networks linked with Islamo-fascists to Al-Qaeda and allegedly to stock market manipulation in the run-up to September 11th. And we spoke about Ahmed Huber at considerable length in For the Record program number 335. The sources are noted in the description for FTR 335 in www.spitfirelist.com in the For the Record section. There has been quite a bit of discussion in the news since the September 11th incident of Al-Qaeda's nuclear capability. And one of the interesting things is that Pakistan, and there are very strong links between the Pakistani secret services and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, Pakistan is a nuclear power, and some of the people who were connected to the development of the Pakistani atomic bomb have been described as being sympathetic to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, although they have officially denied it. I would note here that, as we're about to document, there is a profound German connection to the development of the Pakistani atomic bomb, and I would note that the German nuclear technology tends to be centered under the Degussa firm. Degussa was one of the member companies of the old IG Farben conglomerate, and it was Degussa that manufactured the Zyklon B for the gas chambers in World War II. We've looked about Degussa's connections to the smuggling of nuclear technology in a number of different programs, including For the Record program number 292. Research credit on the following goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who got this from La Repubblica of May 29th of 1998. This is titled German Technology Behind Pakistani Bomb, and it reads in part as follows. According to the Sudetenzeitung, German technology, smuggled without scruples, is behind the Pakistani atomic bomb. The main person responsible for the traffic of nuclear technology is Ernst Piffel, P-I-F-F-L, a quiet leader now on trial for the illegal exportation of material capable of military use. Year after year, Piffel supplied Islamabad with dozens of frequency moderators. Frequency moderators are sophisticated devices essential for building an ultra-modern gas centrifuge. Gas centrifuges are used to enrich U-235, turning it into weapons-grade uranium. And that again from La Repubblica of May 29th of 1998. In turn, that article sourced the Süddeutsche Zeitung, a German paper, obviously. One of the things that we've looked at in connection with the Underground Reich, in connection with Underground Reich connections to the Middle East and to fascist elements within the Islamic community, concerns the German role in the smuggling of weapons technology that it can be used for the development of weapons of mass destruction, both biological and nuclear, the trafficking of that weapons technology to Iraq. As we've seen, Saddam Hussein was the protege and political mentor, the political follower of his uncle, Khairullah al-Tufa, who was an enthusiastic supporter of Nazi Germany and who supported the pro-Nazi and Third Reich organized anti-British rebellion in Iraq during World War II. That rebellion was conducted by Ali Rashid. The Iraqi connection to Germany, and perhaps through that to some of the elements associated with September 11th, is not one to be too readily discounted, although the precise nature of connections, alleged connections between Iraqi intelligence agents and Mohammed Atta, one of the primary suspects in September 11th, has yet to be fully defined. However, the Iraqi-German connection is not one to be underestimated. That connection was discussed in the Financial Times of Thursday, November 1st of 2001. This is an article by Hugh Williamson and Philip Jacklin headlined, Iraq Slipped Secret Agents into Germany. It reads in part as follows. Iraq has moved secret agents into Germany as part of illegal people smuggling operations, German authorities confirmed yesterday. The agents had been smuggled from Eastern European countries in an operation coordinated by Iraqi diplomats in Prague, the Czech capital. Quote, there is evidence that Iraqis with Secret Service backgrounds have infiltrated Germany, helped by professional smuggling gangs, unquote, according to a spokesman for Germany's Agency for the Protection of the Constitution, Berlin's Internal Intelligence Authority. Skipping down, a spokesperson for the BND, Germany's International Secret Service, said the agency was investigating the problem and was in contact with the Czech authorities. And the German authorities have yet to establish any hard links between Iraq and the September 11th incident. That does not mean there are not any. I would note that in For the Record program number 88 about the Oklahoma City bombing, we took a look at allegations of connections between American white supremacist Dennis Mahone, connected to the milieu of and allegedly involved with the Oklahoma City bombing, and elements in Iraq. In fact, Mahone himself gave testimony in connection with Timothy McVeigh's trial that he had had some connections with the Iraqi establishment. Speaking of the German connection to Iraq and the development of weapons of mass destruction, something we've looked at in a number of different programs, including For the Record program number 87, number 287, and numbers 292 and 295, we should consider the following. This from the New York Times of Thursday, November 8th of 2001. This is an article by Chris Hedges. It's headlined, Defectors Cite Iraqi Training for Terrorism, and it reads in part as follows. This concerns two defectors from Iraqi intelligence. Two defectors from Iraqi intelligence said yesterday that they had worked for several years at a secret service Iraqi government camp that had trained Islamic terrorists in rotations of 5 or 6 months since 1995. Skipping down. The defectors said they knew of a highly guarded compound within the camp where Iraqi scientists, led by a German, produced biological agents. Skipping down again, speaking of this camp, the general gave a wry smile and answered what he knew would be the next question. No, he said of the Egyptian, that was an Egyptian who was trained at these camps, he was not Mohammed Atta, unquote. Mr. Atta is thought to have been the leader of the September hijackers. The general said one day when he questioned Lieutenant General Jassim Rashid al-Dulami, D-U-L-A-I-M-I, who said he was overseeing the terrorist training about the lanky German who worked in the biological unit, he was told that he was, quote, the man who caused all our problems in 1991, unquote. Skipping down, repeating that last sentence, the general said that one day when he questioned Lieutenant General Jassim Rashid al-Dulami, who said he was overseeing the terrorist training about the lanky German who worked in the biological unit, he was told that he was, quote, the man who caused all our problems in 1991. That is presumably an allusion to the Gulf War, when one of the targets and one of the rationalizations for that war not in and of itself unjust was that Iraq was developing weapons of mass destruction, and some of those biological warfare and chemical warfare sites were bombed, and apparently caused damage to the Iraqis, whereas that was originally intended to be used on people in other countries. But again, note the German connection to the current Iraqi development of weapons of mass destruction. Note the German connection to nuclear smuggling on the part of Islamic extremists in Iran. Note the German connection to the development of the Pakistani atomic bomb that in turn allegedly connected to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, at least in terms of political sympathies. Another interesting German connection, something that has received almost no discussion, concerns possible blackmail against the Germans by a foreign secret service, a Croatian national who purports to have been making a simple burglary, turned over 40 pounds of documents to the Germans, although the Germans have not been able to make any arrests in connection with the case. This is a fascinating story and one that I've seen no discussion of outside of the Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, October 17th of 2001. This is an article by William Boston and Ian Johnson and Marcus Walker. It's headlined, In Germany, a Cache of September 11th Evidence, subtitled, Man Gives Authorities Papers He Claims to Have Stolen from Key Terror Suspect. It reads in part as follows. German investigators are studying an unlikely gift from a petty thief. 40 pounds of documents taken from the home of Mamun Darkazanli, a Syrian-born Hamburg businessman being investigated for links to the September 11th hijackers. Skipping down. A police official called the find mysterious, unquote, and said no thief would steal 40 pounds of documents. Quote, This smells of Secret Services, unquote, the official said, implying that a foreign spy service may have wanted German investigators to see the documents. But it's not yet clear who arranged the documents' discovery or why, says a senior official at Germany's Office for the Protection of the Constitution, an intelligence agency that monitors extremist organizations. Quote, Clearly, there's more to it than a thief with a conscience, unquote, the official said, skipping down. As well as copying, translating, and reading the documents, investigators are conducting cutting-edge forensic tests on them. Officials said the documents, if connected to Mr. bin Laden's Al-Qaeda organization, could be a goldmine of forensic evidence about the group's activities at different locations. Quote, The beauty of thousands of pages is that it probably wasn't written by just one person, said a German investigator, again quoting, You can trace where paper was made, even where it was purchased, unquote. Remains to be seen what comes of that. The Germans are getting ready, I would note, to close their investigation without having made any arrests. There also would appear to be some speed bumps in the path of German economic transparency in connection with the funding of terrorist groups. This article is also from the Wall Street Journal. This was carried in the Wall Street Journal of October 29th of 2001. This is an article by Marcus Walker, Dateline Frankfurt, and headlined, German Banks Balk at Moves to Trace Cash. Skipping down, they question plans to watch all accounts for links to terrorists. Skipping down. Germany's government has been embarrassed by the revelation that some September 11th terrorists used Germany as their base. Its criminal investigators are struggling to piece together all of the suspects' activities, including their financial transactions. But German banks doubt the feasibility and necessity of government proposals to monitor all bank accounts. They say they already deliver information about individuals and companies sought by authorities. So it would appear that German banking officials, and we've looked at the inextricable links between German finance and the Bormann Organization and the Underground Reich in numerous broadcasts, including For the Record Program 232, it would appear that German banking officials are less than wholly enthusiastic about making it possible to trace the alleged financing of terrorist organizations through German financial institutions. German financial institutions would appear to be deeply implicated in the financing of September 11th, or at least German financial conduits. That is also the case with regard to the first World Trade Center attack in 1993. of Germany as a finance hub for September 11th, we read the following from the Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, September 26th of 2001. This is by Ian Johnson and David S. Cloud. It's headlined, Data Point to Germany as Attack Finance Hub. American investigators have found evidence that a source in Germany sent money by wire transfer to at least one hijacker in the September 11th attacks, bolstering their suspicion that Germany was a financial hub for the operation. A U.S. official wouldn't identify the source or recipient of the money, but the official said the discovery strengthened the Federal Bureau of Investigation's belief that Germany was a staging area for the operation, both in its planning and its financing. And more about alleged German financial conduits to the September 11th attacks. This from the New York Times of Tuesday, October 16th of 2001, an article by Philip Sheenan, or Shannon, S-H-E-N-O-N. It's headlined, Man held in U.S. was wired two large sums from Germany. This reads in part, A 33-year-old immigrant who has emerged as a key suspect in the investigation of the September 11th terror attacks received $15,000 in unexplained money transfers from Germany in August, say German investigators who were trying to determine if the plot had its origins in their country. American law enforcement officials said they suspect that the man, Zacharias Moussaoui, a French citizen of Moroccan descent, was meant to be the 20th hijacker in the attacks. Mr. Moussaoui was arrested on August 17th on immigration charges after a Minnesota flight school contacted the FBI to report that he had been acting suspiciously. Instructors were especially alarmed by his request to learn how to fly large jet aircraft, but not how to take off or land. I would note that to FBI Director Robert Mueller, whom I believe is an inside player for the Underground Reich and whose appointment in early July of 2001 I believe to be essential to the realization of this plot, Robert Mueller is now putting a different spin on Mr. Moussaoui. One of the people who is suspected of being linked to the September 11th attacks is Ziad Samir Jarrah, who also had evidentiary tributaries running through Germany. Jarrah is believed to have been one of the pilots on the plane that went down in Pennsylvania. The following article is from the Los Angeles Times of Thursday, November 15th of 2001. This is an article by Carol J. Williams. It's datelined Hamburg and headlined, Suspicion hangs over hijack suspect's ex-roommate, and it reads in part as follows. When Thorsten Biermann arrived at the Florida Flight Training Center a year ago for a six-week course as an instrument, When Thorsten Biermann arrived at the Florida Flight Training Center a year ago for a six-week course for an instrument license, he was pleased to be housed with three other German-speaking students in a school-owned apartment within walking distance of the airfield. One of his roommates, a congenial Lebanese, was even willing to cook most of the group's dinners and lend the others his red Mitsubishi, the only transportation the four students had. But the Lebanese left a nightmare legacy when he returned to in his key. But the Lebanese left a nightmare legacy when he turned in his key. He was Ziad Samir Jarrah, one of the suspected September 11th airplane hijackers, and the young German has been tainted by association. He's now, by the way, on the FBI watch list. Quote, that is to say, Biermann. Quote, It was a coincidence that both Jarrah and I were from Hamburg. Maybe that is what raised suspicion, unquote, said Biermann, noting that none of the other Germans or Austrians who moved in and out of the apartment he shared with Jarrah had been placed on the FBI watch list. I wonder about that. It's also interesting that the networks go from Hamburg down to Florida, and again, perhaps this is a different Hamburg-America line, the successor to what the Bush family Nazi Front Company in World War II. Note again that Biermann says that none of the other Germans or Austrians who moved in and out of the apartment he shared with Jarrah are on the FBI watch list. One wonders why. Are they perhaps inside Bormann operators? I would note that there is an alleged Libyan and Stasi, the former East German Secret Service link, to the Jarrah family. I would note that Muammar Gaddafi's Secret Service, as we looked at in, among other programs, RFA number 3, RFA number 22, and For the Record program number 283 was put together by Heinrich Mueller and the Underground Gestapo, the deadly security outfit that has operated on behalf of the Bormann Organization and the Underground Reich. I would also note that there are East German links to the Bader-Meinhof milieu and to a fascist third position milieu that we looked at in connection with the milieu that I believe was involved in September 11th. We look at that in For the Record number 333, Forward into the Past. Of an alleged Libyan link to Mr. Girard, the Wall Street Journal of Monday, November 5th of 2001 has the following story, an AP story from Karlsruhe, Germany, headlined, Germans probe Stasi's link with suspect. And note the Libyan link here rather than Stasi. This is not to say that the Stasi was not involved, but I believe the Libyan connection here is front and center. German officials are investigating ties between a relative of suspected terrorist Ziad Girard and the former East German secret police, a spokeswoman for the Federal Prosecutor's Office said Saturday. Mr. Girard is suspected of flying the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania on September 11th. German news magazine Der Spiegel on Saturday reported that Mr. Girard's great-uncle, Assem Omar Girard, began working for the Stasi as an informant in 1985 after arriving in Greifswald from Lebanon 2 years earlier as a pharmacy student. According to Stasi files, which were made public after German reunification in 1990, the uncle was also an agent of the Libyan Secret Service. That was put together by the Mueller intelligence outfit. One wonders if that perhaps explains the unnamed Germans and Austrians who were moving in and out of that apartment that Mr. Biermann rented with Ziad Girard. I would note that apparently some of these German connections and the relative lack of pursuit of them are beginning to get under the skin of people in the FBI. This was printed in the Financial Times of Tuesday, October 16th of 2001. This is an article by Hugh Williamson and Philip Jacklin. It's headlined, Tensions Erupt Between Germans and FBI, and it reads in part as follows. Behind-the-scenes tensions between U.S. and German investigators pursuing the German connection with last month's terrorist attacks on America blew into the open yesterday. A senior German police officer said some of his colleagues were, quote, very annoyed, unquote, with the approach of U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, officers stationed in Germany. Klaus Janssen, the head of a police officers association within the BKA, the German Federal Crime Office, said that since the September 11th attacks, FBI officers had often refused to share information with their German colleagues, who sometimes first read about new developments in the U.S. media, quote, The Americans do not present us all the information they have, he said, again quoting, It is certainly very strange that in some cases U.S. journalists had already visited locations before the German police. Some colleagues in Hamburg have been very annoyed about this, unquote, said Mr. Janssen, who has experience as a German police liaison officer in the U.S. One wonders whether perhaps the FBI is aware of the, shall we say, less than vigorous approach that the Germans have taken toward the investigation into September 11th. And I would note the death of John O'Neill, who was vigorously pursuing the Bin Laden organization, whose investigation appears to have been compromised in the summer of 2000 with the theft of a very important briefcase, and who has since died in the September 11th attacks. And I believe that Mr. O'Neill was doubled on in the attacks. Research and translation credit for the following goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who got this from the German magazine Focus, issue number 41 from October 8th of 2001. This is an article by J. Hufeschulte and C. Tallmann. It's headlined, FBI probe into World Trade Center attack provides fresh lead in case of murdered Verfassungsschutz agent. And this concerns a Verfassungsschutz agent, Sylvan Becker, who also was an apparent victim, like John O'Neill, in the investigation into Al-Qaeda. And I believe that in all probability, Herr Becker, just like John O'Neill, was doubled on by the fascist and anti-democratic elements within the German and American national security establishments. The article reads in part, American FBI agents investigating the World Trade Center attack have come across a trail that leads directly to the bloody murders of a German anti-terrorist agent and his wife in Tripoli in 1994. Sylvan Becker, 56, was the director of the anti-terrorist department of the Verfassungsschutz and worked at its headquarters in Köln. An acknowledged expert on Arab extremism, Herr Becker had spent years examining Islamic terrorist alliances. Skipping down. In 1994, despite an official ban on traveling, Sylvan Becker and his wife Vera made a secret trip to Libya. On March 9, 1994, they were both violently murdered in Tripoli during an apparent robbery. According to the FBI, an alias used by one of the 19 World Trade Center hijackers is identical to the name of a suspect in the Becker case. And the last item that we're going to look at, and we will be resuming the case of Becker and John O'Neill, both, I believe, murdered by the underground Reich elements and their respective services who compromised them, and both of them could truly be considered martyrs in this case. We've heard a lot of talk about martyrs. These are real martyrs. The following article is from the New York Times of Monday, November 12th of 2001. This is an article by Ethan Bronner, B-R-O-N-N-E-R. It's headlined, Oil Diplomacy Muddled U.S. Pursuit of Bin Laden, new book contends, and this alludes both to Mr. Becker and to John O'Neill. A former FBI anti-terror official who was killed at the World Trade Center on September 11th complained bitterly last summer that the United States was unwilling to confront Saudi Arabia over Osama bin Laden and that oil ruled American foreign policy, according to a new book published in France. The former official, John P. O'Neill, was the director of anti-terrorism for the FBI's New York office when he resigned in August to become chief of security for the Twin Towers. All the answers, everything needed to dismantle Osama bin Laden's organization, can be found in Saudi Arabia, Mr. O'Neill is quoted as saying in the new book. Bin Laden, la vérité interdite, Bin Laden, the forbidden truth, which argues that Saudi support for Mr. bin Laden has been extensive. One of the book's co-authors, Jean-Charles Brizal, a security expert who has spent several years examining Mr. bin Laden's financial empire, says in the book that he met with Mr. O'Neill in June and July. Mr. O'Neill is quoted as lamenting, quote, the inability of American officials to get anything at all from King Fahd, unquote, the ailing Saudi ruler. He explains the failure in one word, oil, skipping down. The book by Mr. Bazar, written with Guillaume Dasquier, a journalist, also makes public for the first time the first international warrant for the arrest of Mr. bin Laden. It is a 1998 Interpol document from Libya. Skipping down. The book, the so-called Red Notice, file number 1998-20032, accuses Mr. bin Laden and three Libyans of killing two Germans in Libya in 1994. The book identifies the victims as Sylvan Becker and his wife and says they were German anti-terror agents. And they, of course, were along the same trail as Mr. O'Neill. This concludes For the Record program number 336, Side 2, titled Walking the Snake, Part 3. This is being recorded on November 8th of 2001. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.